this morning. I want you to get them and look at them. All right, this is a good looking group of young people. These four rows are all the way full, and these are a little empty on this side. When you think about it, we have about 55 downstairs, the same age. We got a pretty good crowd of young people here this morning. Matter of fact, I'd say that's the biggest part of the congregation. We praise the Lord for it. As long as you have young generation coming on, that means the church is going to go on. Of course, we know the Lord's church is going to go on anyway. But that's a real good sign. One of these days, everybody that's carrying the torch will lay it down. And it's going to be up to the young people, boys and girls, to pick up the torch and carry it on. And carry it for the Lord. Turn to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. If you're a young person here this morning, one of the best books in the Bible that you can spend your time is the book of Proverbs. It's a young man's book of wisdom. Young men, you young ladies, if you want to find out what's going on and get some good sense, the kind that the Lord wants you to have, get it from the book of Proverbs. Now, I tell you what you get at school. And every kid ought to go to school. You ought to get all the education you can. But I tell you, all it can give you at school is knowledge. Now, a lot of people have knowledge and wisdom confused. But there's a great difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is just an accumulated group of facts. Like, you know this, you know that, you know something else, you know how far it is to the sun, you know how far it is to the moon, you know all this stuff. That's knowledge. But wisdom is something a lot different. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. Wisdom is knowing how to put that knowledge into good practical, as we call it, that's horse sense. Common sense. The kind that you get from God. The Bible don't say the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God, but the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And so this morning, the best way to get wisdom is to fear God and His book and His word and do what God wants you to do. And I realize that the battle on our young people here this morning is tremendous. I know that some of you are going through things at home and at school that you wouldn't even want me to know about, and you wouldn't want none of your friends to know about, and it seemed like there's a lot of pressure on you. A lot of times there's a voice talks to you and says, why don't you just run away? Why don't you just get out of here? Why don't you just leave the country? But that's what I want to try to help you with this morning and try to bring you some things from God's Word. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. And then hold your place there and turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Look at verse 26. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Everybody see that? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And then Proverbs 23, 26. Proverbs 4, 23. We'll read that one first. Where the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Young people, keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Now look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. My son, young man, young lady, God's saying Proverbs 23, 26, my son, give me thine heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. I want to talk to you this morning, young folks, on this question. I'd like for you, everyone else, to be just as quiet and just as still as you can. It's noisy in this place, when the floor like this, and just the least little bit of moving around can cause a big ruckus, so nobody in and out. And try to keep the kids quiet as we bring this message this morning. Proverbs 23, 26, my son, give me thine heart. I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes this morning on the thought, what is that in your heart? What is that in your heart? Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, our Father, for the privilege of just waking up this morning. Lord, for a privilege, Lord, to feel good and have strength to come to your house and worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, our Father, for the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We thank you, our Father, for the love of God, the power of God, and salvation full and free. Lord, we thank you especially for these young people this morning. Oh, dear God, we realize that many times they may be neglected and looked over and pushed aside. But, oh, God, this morning, help us to be the help to them today. Help us to be a blessing to them today. And help us, Lord, to teach them and lead them toward Thee. And, Lord, I pray that by the time this service is over, that every one of them will give you their heart today. I pray in Jesus' name, let you do a miracle in here this morning. For that young man, that young woman that's here today, maybe for the first time, and they don't even realize why they come. Lord, I pray you'd help them to know that you brought them here today to hear this message and to speak to their heart and help them, Lord, to make that step before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake, amen. All right, I want to ask you the question this morning, young folks. What is that in your heart? I want to say, as your pastor this morning, as your preacher, and as your friend, that I know a little bit about what it's like being a young person in the United States and of America in this day that we're living in. Times are changing. I'm done over the hump now, and I can remember back when I was a teenager that I remember that how things were. I remember the pressure that I got. I remember when I'd go to school, and if everybody was doing a certain thing, if I didn't do it, people would kind of look at you like you was kind of funny. And they'd look at you out of the corner of their eye and say, well, he's chicken, or he's a coward, or he's this, or he's that. And because of that pressure, a lot of times I'd give in and do something that I didn't really want to do. And by the time I realized what I'd done, it's too late then, and I'd feel guilty. I know that it's got worse just in the past 9 years since I've been saved. I got saved when I was 18 years old. And when I was 18, I was running around up and down the highways, right up and down this road down here. And I used to come up here to this place. I used to play putt-putt in this room right here when I was 16, 17 years old. They had a place called the Jungle here, and it's putt-putt and a jukebox. And all a bunch of young people would hang around up here, and I'd putt over there and putt around over here. And if somebody told me that day that I'd have been standing up here one day preaching to a bunch of people, I would have no doubt laughed in their face. And I didn't know what God had in store for me in that day. But I want to say before I even get into the thought and the message this morning, young folks, that I always tried to reach goals when I was in school. And I'd say, boy, I want to do that. Man, if I could just be a ball player, I'd do this and everybody would look at me and they'd know my name and I'd get trophies and I'd do this and that. And I'd work and I'd work and I'd work and I'd work and I'd do everything I could to try to reach that goal. And sure enough, one day I reached it. And you know what I found out? That the minute after you're gone, after you graduate, they forget your name. They forget who you was and you think, I've done all this for nothing. And then I'd see other goals and I'd say, boy, I want that. Whatever it is, you might want to be a straight-A student. Or you might want to have the most expensive pair of shoes in your class. Or you might want a shirt like Bill's, or a hat like Joe's, or a coat like Sally's, or something that would make you look good and make you look important in front of everybody else. And you'd reach your goal. And I reached a lot of my goals. But you know what, young people? The best thing that ever happened to me in my whole life was the night I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. That was the greatest. Hey, boys, say amen back to our missions. I remember when I was just 18 years old that I gave my heart to Jesus. And that was the greatest thing that I'd ever done, or I ain't done nothing that good since. Smartest thing Danny Castle ever done in his life was when he gave his heart to Jesus. I had a little orange MG, and I'd run up and down the road just a flying, brother. And I'd run around just zoom, 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 zoom. And I'd think, well, boy, I got it made, you know. Put big speakers in the back of that thing and put a tape in there, Grand Funk Railroad. And I'd push the tape in there so far and turn it up so loud that I could hear it with the top down, brother. Now, that's pretty loud. Of course, it ain't nothing compared to these outfits they got nowadays. But anyway, I heard it up and I'd just run the roads in that thing constantly. And I didn't realize that my heart was not right. I griped about school. I griped about mom and daddy. I griped about my two sisters. I griped about everything else. You know what I didn't realize? My heart wasn't in the right place. Now, there's two beings in this universe that want your heart, kids, and boys and girls and teenagers and young women and young men. There's two beings that want your heart. One of them is Jesus, and the other is Satan. Now, folks, you realize this morning that the devil is making a bid for young people's hearts today like never, never before. When you come up, you know, you start out in the fifth and sixth grade. And the next thing you know, brother, pajama parties turn into dates. And the next thing you know, the dates turn into weekends. And the weekends turn into all kinds of, you know, on and on and on and on and on. And the purpose of that is for you young people to come to a place in your life where you give Satan your heart. It'd surprise you. It would surprise you this morning to know of the young people, 16, 17 years old in the United States this morning, that have actually give themselves to Satan. They're encouraged by their idols, by rock singers, and by people who are in the movies and big stars. And they're encouraged to just go ahead and sell out and give their heart to Satan. As a matter of fact, this morning, as proof of this, you have all kinds of crimes being committed by teenagers and young people and middle-aged people that actually tell you that the devil told them to do what they do. Have you read in the paper these murders being committed nowadays? And when they catch the criminal, he said, the devil told me to do it. Let me tell you just a few right quick. A 19-year-old boy charged with a bizarre murder of Alan Bono, 40-year-old man. They're trying to prove now that a soft-spoken teenage boy was possessed by the devil when he suddenly flew into an uncontrollable rage and slashed the life out of his best friend in Brookfield, Connecticut. All of a sudden, this 19-year-old boy just went wild with a knife and just started cutting and slashed his best friend in two. And when they got the young boy and talked to him, he said, the devil caused me to do it. About 10 years ago, when the movie The Exorcist first hit the screen, and I imagine a lot of you kids here probably saw that film, and I know most of you in your 20s probably did. A lot of people thought, oh boy, that's something. And a lot of people were afraid to go and see it. And a lot of people had bad dreams that night. And a lot of them had nightmares for a week or two. And a lot of them got saved. And a lot of them thought, boy, I don't know if I want to fool with that stuff or not. But what actually happened with the movie that actually came before that, Rosemary's Baby, the devil came and he put an on-leash and an onslaught of demon possession and devil possession on the minds and hearts of the youth of the United States. And don't you think it just happened in New York or Los Angeles or somewhere up down south, brother. It's all over. He's spread apart. And I want you to hear another case. Last month, a young man in New York City strangled his father in his parents' home in Hamden, Connecticut. Strangled his own daddy. Choked the life out of his daddy with his hands. And as the man was taken away from the house by the police, and the police were taking him away, he screamed, the devil made me kill my daddy! And he called out that Satan had told him to do it. And on Chicago's west side, 24-year-old boy Carpenter stabbed his young wife and his little boy to death with a knife. Then he cut himself with broken glass and a horrifying death spree, which he told the police was ordered by the devil. In Sacramento, California, a 13-year-old girl shot her 11-year-old sister and killed her. The youngster later told the police that she didn't want to harm her sister, but she was under the control of Satan. Down in Belgrade, Florida, a 23-year-old boy murdered an elderly couple in their sleep because, quote, the devil promised to make me rich if I would kill them. And there's all kinds of high school and college groups popping up. And understand, we have some not too very far from here that are getting involved in satanic services and satanic worship services and cults. And the police are finding bulls and cows by the hundreds around the countryside that have been mutilated and their blood drained out of them that have been sacrificed in Satan worship services right here in North Carolina. In the state of Iowa, the police started finding a bunch of cows, mostly large-sized bulls. And they wasn't eating made into steaks. They all had the sharp instrument taken to them. Their left eye was cut out. Their left ear was cut off. They were sliced. their reproductive organs gone, and not one drop of blood in their body. And the police couldn't figure out what in the world was going on. That happened all over the state of Iowa. And they said they found one like that in the snow one day, and there was no tracks, no trail of blood, nothing where the animal had been murdered. It just like it had been dropped right out of the sky. In other words, just pushed out of the back end of a van or pushed out off of the back of a truck where it had been used in Satan worship. Yes, young people, the devil wants your heart. And if you start fooling around with sin and dibble-dabbling a little bit with this and dibble-dabbling a little bit with that and fooling around with this, it's nothing more than the beginning of a road that the devil will take you down until one day you give him your heart. After they fool around with that, cattle mutilations, they begin to hunt human beings. There's cases all over the United States where cattle no longer do the trick no more, and they start going after kids. A group of high school and college kids involved in a satanic cult engaged in cattle mutilation. Finally, they turned to hunting down human being victims to kill and eat them. When the thrill of animal mutilation wears off, they start looking for people. Now you say, that could never happen to me. That nothing like that. I could never be that crazy and that ignorant. But I want to tell you something, kid. The devil's got better sense than to come running up to you with horns and a big pitchfork and say, "Boo, I'm a devil, follow me and we'll all go to hell together." He got better sense than that. I tell you what he'll do. He'll get you first at school. And he'll work on you at school. And he'll put pressure on you to get you to do this. First thing you know, you're getting high. Next thing you know, you're staying high. The next thing you know, that don't satisfy. The next thing you know, that don't satisfy. And it's just a trail downward till you give the devil your heart. I want to say this morning, what is that, young people, in your heart? Men are made this morning by the things that are in their heart. I want to say as I begin this morning that I praise God this morning that we have a group of young people here in this church that are not ashamed of Jesus, that'll get up and sing in a choir, that'll stand up here and sing "Jesus Loves Me." I praise God for that this morning. Somebody said, "Oh, them old young people, they're all mean as the devil, they're all gone to the dogs." You know why? Mom and Daddy let them there. Brother, all the young people ain't gone to the dogs. Thank God this morning, they still, a lot of young people that serve Jesus and will carry a Bible and are not ashamed of the Lord that loved them and died for them on the cross one day. Brother, the Bible tells us this morning that what's set in your heart. A young man lay out in Kentucky years ago in a log cabin reading books that he had borrowed. He had a dream. He saw great visions, a great people, and a great country. That young man grew up to be the president of the greatest country that's ever been on the face of the earth, Abraham Lincoln. He's made because of what he had in his heart when he was young. One man had it in his heart to make an automobile. And he had that dream and vision in his heart. And because of that, Henry Ford became one of the most world's best known inventors and most well-known industrialists that the world's ever known. He was made because what was in his heart. We're all made this morning by what's in our heart. What is that in your heart, young person? As a young person today, I'd like to give you three suggestions. I'd like to suggest these things to you from the Bible. Three things that should be in your heart. I know that at your age, you've got a lot of pressure. You've got boyfriends and girlfriends and school and a career and college and everything else. But there's three main things you need to have in your heart. Number one, there should be a song in your heart. Young people, you listening this morning? There should be a song in your heart. Everybody should have a song in their heart. Brother, the Bible tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, you can hear today what kind of songs are in most people's hearts on radio and television. They're mostly songs of disappointment and love and hope. And, you know, there's old "She Left Me" songs. And I'm trying. And I'm so blue. Have you ever wondered how come people like Hank Williams so good? The reason people loved Hank Williams and his music so good is because he was singing the song that was in the audience heart. A song of just depression. A song of just sorrow and disappointment. It ain't never going to get no better. And stuff like that. I want to admit something to you this morning. When I was 14 and 15, I started school when I was a year early. And that made me graduate when I was 17. But I was in high school. In the 9th grade, in the 10th grade, in the 11th grade. And to know me and been around me and my friends, you would have never have known it. because I'd have never let you know. But I had a song of disappointment in my heart. I remember when I put in my tapes and listened to them in my car. There were a lot of those rock and roll songs I used to listen to that as soon as I stuck the tape in my tape player, I'd get to feeling down. And I just think, ugh, I feel awful. I'd turn on the television, lay back on the couch to watch a show, and it'd be lost in space. And I'd say what they're trying to get out of here, and they're trying to get, and the whole time I didn't know what was going to happen at the end of that show. I didn't know how it was going to turn out. Same way, same thing, every week. And I had a sad song in my heart. Oh, you'd have never known it to be around me. You'd have never known it to talk to me. And most people would have said, well, there's old Danny. Oh, he ain't got a care in the world. I'll be like him. I'd like to see this happen. He don't never have nothing bad happen to him. But they didn't know. I had a sad song in my heart. I acted like I was happy, but really I wasn't. You know, young people, you ought to have a song in your heart. This song ought to be, first of all, the song of the upper road. There are two roads in life you can take. When you come to the crossroads, when God speaks to your heart, you can go the upper road or the lower road. Your song ought to be the song of the upper road. Have you ever read some of John Lennon's music, word for word? He'd say things like, well, we don't want to die, and I hate to die, and I'm scared to die, but if they blow the world up, what about it? We're all out of it then. Our problems are over. You know what? He sung the song of the lower road. No hope. No outlook. No future. And that's what makes young people say, let's just get high and forget everything. Let's just live it up. Eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow we're all going to have to go to war and get our heads blowed off. There ain't nothing to live for. Brother, I want you to know, if you don't have Jesus in your heart this morning, you look out there at this world and it is a very dark picture. Did you know if I didn't have Jesus in my heart and I knew that none of you young people could have Jesus in your heart, that would be a sad day for you to be living in. Hey, folks, do you realize that if the Lord don't do something, that the chances of some of these girls and boys up here that are 10, 11 years old, the chances of them growing up and leading a normal life, working on a job and having a family, and that family staying together are very, very, very slim. Very slim. If Jesus don't come back and we don't have our hope in Him, brother, these young people are in for a terrible life. Many of them. But I thank God this morning as a young person, you can have the song of the upper road. Brother, I remember I got a friend of mine that lives down in Conway, South Carolina. Grew up in Myrtle Beach. He grew up selling drugs on the street in Myrtle Beach. And every summer he lived down there. He's one of them guys you see sitting around down there on the sidewalk, sticking out his hand, saying, spare change. And brother, when he'd get some, he'd go buy some dope and sell it and try to get more and more and more and more and more. And he lived like that. And he tried to kill himself with a great big overdose dose of a drug called Orange Sunshine. And a little bitty yellow tablets about like a baby aspirin. And he sniffed up a bunch down his nose to commit suicide and kill himself because he had a sad song in his heart and nothing to live for. And a Christian man that he knew come and prayed for him while he's laying there dying, his stomach going into knots. The man prayed for him, and brother, the Lord reached down and touched him and saved him. And now he's got a wife and a family and a bright hope for the future. You know why? He chose the upper road. He's got a song in his heart now, and he said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus keeps me singing as I go. Brother, you can have that song too this morning if you take the upper road. Not only that, it'll be a song of trust. Today, civilization is rocking, as I've already said. Young people are saying, what are they to live for? Teenagers leaving behind little notes before they blow their brains out, saying, Mom and Daddy, I didn't have nothing to live for. What is there to life? What's the use in living if it has to be like this? Brother, your song can be a song of trust. You can say, I know we're having it hard. I know the world's in bad shape, but I'm going to trust. A young boy and girl was walking down the railroad track one day, and they got into a place where the bank just come right. It's just a very narrow place, just enough track room for the track to go through between the banks and the rocks. And about that time, a train started coming, and they couldn't get out of the banks, out of the place where it was narrow.
So they had to climb up on the walls and hold to the sides of the walls. And the little girl told her brother, she said, "Brother, just hang on to the rock. Cling to the rock, brother." Do you know that's the situation most of our young people are in this morning? It's just like a train going by, man. I mean, it's just like, boom, the world's just a flying by. And everything just going nuts. But I'm glad, young people, you can have a song in your heart, the song of trust. Cling to Jesus! I tell you, if the communists take over and they close down our churches and we wind up in jail or in concentration camp somewhere and they herd you girls up and use you like cattle just for breeding and they take you boys and make you work your fingers to the bone, if that ever happens, you just remember, you can sing to Jesus. You can have a song of trust in your heart. You don't have to ever look down. Then it ought to be a song of satisfaction. You ever heard Mick Jagger? "I can't get no satisfaction." Why would you want to be like him? You say, "Are you against them rock singers?" I tell you what, I'm going to see if you got any sense right now. What if there's a man walked in this church this morning and he got right up here and he sat down like this? We said, "Sir, you want to say something?" He said, "Yeah, I do. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in God. Christianity will go. It'll vanish and shrink. We're more popular than Jesus right now. Now, kids, I have some candy. Would you like to buy some?" If a man walked in here and said that about your Jesus this morning, how many of you would buy some candy from him? Amen. Who said that, preacher? John Lennon said that. You say, "I just like a little folk." What would you say about a man that got his folk guitar in here and went, "Boom, boom, 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 oh." And he started that stuff whining through his nose, talking about the flowers and the purple trees and the birds. "Oh, that's good singing, ain't it, preacher?" And that man put his guitar down and he said this, "I was in my cell one day, and they come and got me out and crucified me beside the carpenter's son." You know who that is, don't you? That's Jesus. "If you ask me, carpenter's son, it's God they ought to crucify. Me and you didn't do nothing. They ought to crucify God." If a man got up here and said that this morning, and then he said, "Kids, y'all want to buy you a nice some socks and some stuff to wear this winter?" How many of you would buy anything from him? Who said that, preacher? Pete Seegers and Bob Dylan. And others that sold millions of dollars worth. He's saying, "You against rock singers?" No, I'm just against people who talk like that about my Jesus that died for me on the cross. And if you love Jesus, you ought to be too. You say, "You'll run them off like that, preacher?" No, I won't. You wait and see if he ain't back next Sunday. Just wait and see. Amen. You ought to have a song of satisfaction in your heart. Then, second of all, this morning, you should have a dream in your heart, young people. You ought to have a dream in your heart. Young people, this morning, you know why a lot of them are sitting around and done graduated from school or quit school and are sitting around and won't work, won't get a job, not make no effort to improve themselves, make no effort to make a living or get anything. You know why? They ain't got no dream in their heart, no vision, no dream for what they want to be in life. Young people, you need a dream. I've always been a dreamer. I used to dream about things when I was little. I used to about dream about being playing out in the woods and digging in the dirt and finding a little something real hard, and I'd dig down and find out it's a big old treasure chest big as this table full of gold. I used to dream about stuff like that. I used to dream about flying. I used to dream about things when I was small. Everybody needs to have a dream in their heart. But you know what? We got a bunch of sick, neurotic young folks in the land today that have no dream. No dream! Young people, this morning, you ought to have a dream. You're going to have a dream of your life's companion. One of these days, you're going to come to the place where you feel like you're ready or wanting to get married. And somewhere, God has the right person for you to marry. I mean, somewhere, they may be in California, they may be sitting right beside you, I don't know. But felt his hand and I felt something tingling in my stomach and I'm in love. Hey, I bet you I'm going to tell you something I can do. I could be walking down Main Street Monday morning and a beautiful lady could come up the street and I could grab her and kiss her right in the mouth. And I guarantee you I'd feel something. But does that mean I love her? Never seen her before in my life. A lot of young girls, they get out, you know, and the first time they have a date, you know, oh, I felt it in my stomach. It's love. I know it's love. Oh, I never felt this way before. Oh, this is it. You know, what's that one they sing about all the time now? I'm in a fantasy. I'm living in a fantasy. You got to watch that word there. The word fantasy comes from the word fantastic. Something that's not real. And you think, oh, I'm in love. But you're missing, young ladies. If it starts out in puppy love, it may lead to a dog's life. That's right. Too often, young people rush ahead, get ahead of God. Listen, young girls, you ought to be preparing yourself. You ought to be preparing yourself right now for the one that God has for you out there in the future. I'm talking about a girl who just lets everybody on the football team slobber all over and pass her around like she was the ball. I'm talking about, friends, a young girl preparing herself and keeping herself pure and keeping herself clean. What if your boyfriend sent you a package for Christmas this Christmas and you opened it up and inside was an old wrinkled up, dirty, nasty dress. Oh, it had mud all over it and it was wrinkled and it was tore. You're like, shoo, I wouldn't want that. You make sure you give your husband, when you're on your wedding night, a nice, clean, pure package. You listening? You say, well, my boyfriend, he just don't see it that way. And when we get out there, I'm afraid I'll lose him because he starts all this stuff and he tells me if I loved him, I would. When that stuff starts, young girl, and that boy gets you out there, he starts pawing all over you, brother, and he starts messing with you, and he tells you, if you love me, you would. You turn right around and look at him and say, if you love me, you wouldn't. Amen. And that's right. If he did love you, he wouldn't. That's right. He's just wanting something for himself. I may have a bunch of boys down my throat before this is over, but I'm squealing on them. I'm telling on them. I'm one myself. I know how they do. I used to do the same thing. Man, they'll tell you girls anything. You say, well, preacher, what about me? I've already messed up. I've already got myself in trouble. I tell you what, ask God to forgive you and go on and do the best you can and forget about it and do right from now on. Amen. All right. You ought to have a dream of your companion. You ought to have a dream of your career. God's will for your life. You ought to have a dream for the ideal home. Did you know, young people, there's young couples all over the country here that have been to college and got a college education, and now they've got a $100,000 house and two cars and pretty carpet and nice fancy pictures and expensive furniture and still don't have a home. He's got a house. No home. Your dream ought to include having a good home. They tell us that by the year 2000, there will be no such thing as a home in the United States. I don't believe that. I believe there'll always be some. And I believe the devil's attacking the home like never before. Then thirdly this morning, not only should you have a song in your heart, not only should you have a dream in your heart, but you should have a name in your heart. That name is the name of Jesus. If this name is engraved in your heart, it'll make your song sweeter and your dreams lovelier. You ought to have the name of Jesus in your heart. Every young person here this morning needs that name in their heart. Burnt, engraved, tattooed, burnt onto their heart. You ought to have a name in your heart, young people. It's the name of Jesus. I want to say about three things about this name of Jesus for you. First, take that name as a buffer against temptation. Take the name of Jesus and you'll be able to resist temptation. Young people today are facing many temptations. I heard a man here not too long ago say, oh, the young people, we had to face the same thing when we was growing up. That's a bunch of junk. You never done it. They're facing, young people are facing temptation these days that their mom and daddy, there wasn't no such thing when they went to school. It is worse than it used to be. And you'd be silly to try to tell yourself that now all young people do when they get to school is giggle around a little bit and laugh and talk and stuff like that. Brother, it's changed. Times have changed. It's got worse. It's worse than it was 5 years ago. It's worse than it was 10 years ago. I dare say there's not a person up here except these kids that go to Maranatha Christian School probably. There's probably not a kid in front of me this morning that hasn't been approached and hasn't been offered the sale of alcohol or the sale of marijuana. This has caused many young people today saying, well, what's wrong with it, preacher? I just like to get a little high. Marijuana ain't habit forming. Why don't I just want to mess around with it a little bit? Well, just get in line. The devil's told you, he throwed you a curve and you swung at it. They took a survey here of a group of young people from ages of 13 to 24 that used marijuana twice a week. Thought it wasn't hurting them a bit. By the time they reached the age of 20, every function they had was slowed down. They were slower in their classwork. They didn't keep themselves clean and neat, didn't comb their hair good as they used to. And they just got to where they didn't care whether they got their classroom studies done or not. And they were a lot slower than what they were before. And it can also make you go down the road in your car when you're doing 60 miles an hour and make you think you're going 20. And give you that feeling that you're standing on a curb on the sidewalk and you can't jump off it so high. Have you ever had that weird feeling when you first lay down in bed at night and you lay down and close your eyes and all of a sudden you feel like you're real little and the bed's about 100 miles long across it? You ever had that feeling? That's what marijuana can do to you. Or make you feel like the curb's real little and you're a big giant standing up here over the whole city. You can run your car down the road at 60 miles an hour and think you're doing 20, run through a red light that looks green and into a line of cars right in front of you that looks a half a mile away. Never know how it happened. Drugs are just like a grasshopper. You can jump away, but you always got to come back down. Every time. And when you come back down, you still got your problems. And you still got your worries. You still got your things that bother you. You still got your mama, your daddy, your brothers, your sisters. You still got to face life. You can go way up high, young people, but you always got to come back down. You should have this name in your heart to keep you from temptation. Say, well, Brother Danny, I'm one of these people that believes God made everything, made all these plants, and if God didn't want us to smoke marijuana, how come He let it grow? He let it grow the same reason He let rattlesnakes down here. He's got marijuana here the same reason He's got copperheads here. If I was to jerk out a copperhead and I say, now the Lord made this kid, y'all play with it a while, kiss it, let it wrap around your neck, and a deadly cobra or copperhead. You'd say, uh-uh, man, that's why God let things down here, to give you enough sense to choose the right and refuse what's bad. Things that'll hurt you, God says, leave them alone. Things that'll help you, God says, choose them. That's why He did it. Take the name of Jesus with you, and you'll have power over temptation. I went to school with boys that in the 10th grade, they saw seniors doing stuff, and they said, uh-uh, them boys are crazy. I'd never do that. And by the time we was in the 12th grade, they was right out there doing it. And they'd look out there, them boys had already got out of school, and they said, them boys are crazy. Now, I may drink a little bit, and I may do this, but I tell you, they're crazy out there messing with that stuff. And this morning, if they're not saved by now, they're right out there doing it. You know why? When the temptation come, they didn't have nothing to resist it. They didn't have enough strength to say no. They didn't have any power over the devil. And if you got the name of Jesus in your heart, you can have power over the devil to say no to temptation. And then you ought to have that name in your heart as a guide on life's highway. Young people, this morning, you're going to have to make many decisions. Many decisions. When you get out of school, you're going to have to decide whether you're going to college or not. When you go to college, you're going to have to say, one of these days, young girls, young boys, y'all are going to have to sit down and bow your head and say, now, what am I going to do with my life? You say, oh, I'll think about that later. No, sooner or later, you're going to have to come to face it. What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to keep on going? Or are you just going to say, well, I'm just going to take life as it comes and enjoy myself and have a good time, do whatever I want to? Or are you going to say, listen, I better start thinking. I hate to even mention this, but I can't get it off my mind. Most of you know there was a young man killed in Nebo last night. Car wreck. Probably a lot of you knew him. The same place where the young teenage girl from Old Fort was killed in a car wreck just about 2 years ago. Three boys in no doubt this morning at the funeral home, at the home of the Jordan family, there's a lot of weeping, a lot of crying over a young boy yesterday that was just healthy. And I'm not saying this to try to hurt anybody. I'm saying it to try to help you. But a man told me as I went down there to where they had that wreck last night and down there over Harmony Grove Road, they come across that hill there and went into the trees on the side of the road and had to cut the boy out. He said, Danny, when's young people going to learn? When's young people going to learn? That beer, drugs, and things are nothing to do but put you in an early grave. Brother, I like I said, I hate to mention this. I stopped my car there at the side of the road where there's blood and stuff around there and the bark gone over those trees this far and bowed my head. And I could see you young people sitting here this morning. And I said, Oh God, don't ever let that happen to them. God, help them to live for you. God, help them to take the name of Jesus with them. Don't let none of them wind up with a short life. Many decisions you're going to have to make, kids. I want to tell you something, young people. Life ain't no playground. This world ain't a place to whoop-de-doo and have a big time. This world's a battleground. There's a battle going on for your heart. Jesus wants your heart, and the devil wants your heart. You got to make up your mind who you're going to give it to. You need that name as a haven in life's storms. Young people, there's going to be times in your life when you're going to be at the funeral home. Maybe your mom, maybe your dad, maybe your sister, your brother. There's going to be times when you'll be at the funeral home. There's going to be times when somebody's going to knock on your door. There's going to be times your telephone's going to ring. It's going to say, is this such and such the home of such and such? Does she live here? Does he live here? And sorrow will strike your home. Make sure you have the name of Jesus in your heart. As the old song says, take the name of Jesus with thee, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it everywhere you go. Then this morning also, in closing, you need the name of Jesus in your heart as a goal. Take that name as a goal in life's endeavors. Life is very short, young people. Set your goals now. Jesus Christ spoke a good word to this young group of young people here this morning when he said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know what you young people ought to do then? You ought to say, I've been seeking a boyfriend first. I've been seeking a girlfriend first. I've been seeking this first, that first, popularity, some money, car. This morning I'm going to seek Jesus first. And you know what He said? All these things shall be added unto you. Young people, if you will put Jesus first, He'll give you all these other things. He'll give you a good husband, a good man that'll love you and treat you like a human being. Amen. Not love you for a little while and then after you're married, he'll slap you around and treat you like a dog. He'll give you somebody that'll be good to you. Many of you girls and boys have grew up in a home where you saw enough of that going on. You don't want to wind up that way the rest of your life. Then Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember thy Creator in the days of your youth. While you're young, it's time to give your heart to Jesus. Let's bow our heads. While the song is made ready, no one moving around, no one leaving the building. Just as quiet as we can possibly keep it. Young people, God has spoke to some of you, no doubt, here this morning. Said, young man, young lady, give me thine heart. If you're here this morning, you're not here by accident. The Lord laid this message on my heart at the beginning of the week, and I prayed about it. I said, Lord, no doubt there's going to be young people there Sunday morning. And I want you to speak to them. And you know what the Lord did? He brought you here today to hear this message. While the piano plays softly this morning, I want to ask you young boys and girls to search your heart. What is that in your heart, young girl? What is it in your heart, young man? You young boys, have you really given Jesus your heart? Young men, young ladies, have you really given Jesus your heart? We're going to pray and we're going to stand and sing. If God's speaking to your heart, you need to come to this altar and pray. Maybe rededicate your life. Young people, it's worth it. Don't be ashamed of Him. Jesus wants to help you. Father, I pray the Holy Ghost of God will move on these young people this morning. These others, moms and dads that are here, I pray You'd speak to them. Help that one that needs to come to this altar to come this morning. We'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's